Amen. 50 years ago, three events of some note took place. Men walked on the moon for the first time. The Mets won the World Series. And Sesame Street premiered on PBS. Now, in recent years, a lot of attention has been paid to the other children's program, Mr. Rogers. And you will recall there was a documentary about Fred Rogers a few years ago. And there's been a movie starring Tom Hanks in the theaters now. And everybody recognizes Fred Rogers as just this really nice guy who sets a great example for children and hopefully adults. But Sesame Street seems to have its own place in our cultural life. Everybody knows about Big Bird. Everybody knows about Oscar the Grouch. Everybody knows about the Count. Sadly, everybody knows about Elmo. They're everywhere. And generations of children have learned their letters and their numbers by watching this program. And little bits of it have just drifted off into the wider culture too. And one thing I was thinking of as I was thinking about today was a song. And I'm not going to sing it to you. That is my early Christmas present to all of you. But it goes, one of these things is not like another. And if I vaguely recall this, they would show four images, you know, say three different cows, and they'd be spotted and black and white, and then they'd have a horse, and you'd have to guess if you're a child which one was not like the others. Well, this song would be appropriate for this Sunday in Advent, because we could have sung it about the candles. Which of these candles is not like the other? And we had three purple and one pink. It also applies to the lectionary readings. You'll recall that we have spent the last 2 weeks with the Epistle to the Romans, and we're going to return to that letter next week. But on this Sunday, we're turning to the letter of James. Now, this letter is very different from Romans. Romans is this large, well-structured theological argument that is definitely written by Paul and was written to a community of Gentiles. But the letter of James is a little bit different from that. While the church has often taught that it was written by James, the brother of Jesus, we can't know that for a fact. And this letter was not written to a community of Gentile Christians, but it was written to a community of Jewish Christians. Romans has this great Christological foundation, and James not so much. There are little touches here and there, but it seems more rooted in Judaism. Martin Luther, as you may recall, father of the Reformation, wanted to expel this book from the Bible. He said it was written of straw, that there was really nothing Christian about it. Well, Luther didn't get his way with that, and the church has kept it in the Bible. So, what is this book telling us today, and why are we reading in Advent? So you heard some good advice about being patient and waiting. Now, who here actually likes to wait? Raise your hands. I'll give you one more chance. So we have unanimity here. Nobody likes to wait. Now, imagine you're one of those early Christians, and you were waiting for Jesus to return. You were waiting for him to lift the hand of the oppressor, to free you from everything that life was dumping on you. And he wasn't showing up. He wasn't arriving. And at that early years of the church, there was already debate about when Jesus would return. Not every Christian expected his imminent return. Some of them thought it was going to be at some point in the future, that God's schedule could not be anticipated. So James was encouraging his audience to be patient. And he uses this wonderful analogy of the farmer. And some of you I know are gardeners, and you like to take care of your plants, and you sow the seeds, and then you water them. And then you have to wait and wait and wait. Some of us are not very good at gardening. Some of us do have a talent for raising weeds. But if you are trying to grow flowers to beautify a bed, or if you are growing crops to make a living, waiting for those plants to actually show up can be really hard. And you could know it on one level that you can't do anything, but you still want the crops to come in. You still want the flowers to bloom. Just like that with Advent. We want Jesus to come. Well, we know he already has come. But for his return, we have to wait. We have no control over what God is going to do. Now, sometimes when people are waiting, they can get up to all sorts of mischief. They have nothing better to do. And it's interesting that in this letter, the behavior that James talks about, the behavior he wants the community to avoid, is grumbling. Now, we don't know what hell looks like, but I suspect it might resemble a church parking lot. And where the two or three are gathered in the church parking lot, Jesus is not present. Rather, there's grumbling going on. And that happens at churches all across the country and indeed around the world. And people think that they might be advancing the goals of the community, but instead, they're pursuing their own interests. And James wanted the early church to know that it was a witness to the wider world. The people were looking at these Christians, and the way they dealt with one another was going to tell people how they would deal with the wider world. Earlier this week, I was visiting a woman at the hospital, and her sister was present with her. And she asked me where I was a pastor, and I said that I served here at the First Congregational Church of Lebanon. And I was pleased when she said, "Oh, I've heard about that church. I've heard you're doing good things in the community." Now, I'm not doing good things in the community. You're doing good things in the community. So please accept the compliment. But it's because of what we do day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, and indeed year in and year out, that the word gets out. And that's important. Because the level of education and knowledge people have about the faith today is not very impressive. I read a little snippet in the paper yesterday, and someone had gone into a jewelry shop and they wanted to buy a cross. And the clerk behind the counter asked, "Do you want the plain one or the one with the little man on it?" Okay? This is true. This is the world we live in. So people are going to know us by evangelists on TV and politicians who are misquoting scripture. And hopefully, by what communities like this do in the community at large. So be patient. Be patient like Job, we are told. Now, there's another person that is known somewhat in the popular culture. But people often get Job's story wrong. They think of Job as being the whiner, the complainer. But if you remember the book of Job, he may have his issues. He may have his complaints, but he is always faithful. He's arguing with God, but he's never denying God's existence. So we're in this in-between space. We know Jesus has come, but we're still waiting for his return. And we need to be patient, but we need to act and to live our lives as if Jesus is going to walk in that door in the next 5 minutes. Now, are we doing that? That's a good question to ask ourselves, especially during this season of Advent, which is not pre-Christmas. You all know this. This is a season in which we are to take time to reflect and indeed to repent. And when the season is over, then we will have Christmas. Now, that's only in 11 days from now. And those days will be over before you know it. But I imagine that everybody here is going to get all the presents wrapped, all the trimming of the tree done. And hopefully, you'll also finish your repenting. You'll be ready for Jesus to come into your life. So I hope that together we can all be patient, and we can be thoughtful, and we can be prayerful, and we can be faithful.